for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 27th, 1999. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And this is why I always think when we go after doing deliverance, if we go after a lesbian spirit, a homosexual spirit, everybody needs to get deliverance from it, because I'm by it just like I am by incest. And the curse of the bastard, it's on everybody's family. I don't care who you are. But the thing is, they do not have to be that way. Just recently, we had a man that was a homosexual delivered at the mission in Memphis. He act, talked, and walked like a woman. You know, but he came up and said he wanted to be delivered, he wanted help, and he was delivered. And the next time he was seen, I didn't do the deliverance. We talked to ones that did the deliverance. I can't go places, a lot of people can, but this man, his wife, that worked in the mission, didn't come into our church to learn deliverance. And they did the deliverance on him, and they came back. They were, I think, Ben's feet were 3 feet off the ground. He was leaping and praising the Lord. He said, Sister Mildred said, you won't believe what happened. And then he began to tell us about the men, and that they delivered him from homosexuality and all those spirits and the curses from the sins of the fathers, called his soul back. Well, he said the next time that he saw him, said he had his hair cut, he was dressed, talked different. Said the sound of his voice was even different. So I know that they can be delivered. That's not the first one I know of, but that's just a recent one that I know of. And God didn't make them that way. He hates it, because it's not what God made man and woman. Adam and Eve. Right. Amen. So all of these things are manifesting in the flesh, because of the sins of the fathers. I firmly believe that we need to. I won't get into that one. I'll say this. I always say I'm going to say it, and I might not get into it if I usually end up in. But the sins of the mother, the grandmother, the great grandmother, and the great great grandmother. A lot of the occult things come through the mother's side of the family. Also, cancer comes through the mother's side of the family, and baldness comes through the mother's side of the family. And I sometimes share on that, but I can't do it right now. But over in, let's go to 1 Samuel. I quoted that a while ago, but I want you to look at it about rebellion. A lot of us know it and have read it and been taught from it a lot, but we need to look at it. For some of you that have not looked at it, I want you to know I'm not making this up, and it's not what I said, but it's what the Word says. And I'm a strong believer to have the Word for everything I say and do. I do not say something I can't back up with the Word. I may tell you what I think about something, but I say I haven't got scripture for it yet, but I intend to find it. The Lord spoke to me one time. I kept hearing this thing about the sins of the fathers, and I knew it was real. I taught it and taught it and taught it, and I thought, now, Lord, I know about the sins of the fathers, but look, half the women I deal with are sins of the mothers. Now, I want a scripture for the sins of the mothers, because, you know, it's somewhere in there. It's got to be. And so I was breaking curses. See, all this minister in my church and teach it and then minister, and we were getting all kinds of deliverance in the church. So the Lord gave me Ezekiel 16. So the daughter is like her mother. She's just like her mother. And I tell you, there we are. We got the sins of the mother that's coming forth in the daughter. And when we ask, he gives it to us. But, well, since I said it, I better find it. That's okay. Hold on, I'll give it to you. Verse 44 says, behold, everyone that seeth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as the mother is, so is the daughter. And thou art thy mother's daughter, that loveth her husband, her children, and thou art the sister of thy sister that loveth her husband and their children, and your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. And here, I disagree with some of the men downstairs. They're teaching on this Amorite. I believe the Amorite spirit is a pride, spirit of pride, and the Hittite is fear, and the Canaanite is lust. And so what I was seeing was the child was conceived in lust. And this is why they were of the sins were coming forth. So many today are being conceived not in love but in lust. And that's another thing. When they're born, children are born, sometimes they're so they don't have all their soul. I tell you, the enemy just never gives up. Okay, back over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. In verse 22, and Samuel said unto Saul, he's talking to Saul, has the Lord so great delight? You know, Samuel was going to Saul's camp. The Lord had talked to Samuel and said Saul had disobeyed him when he told him when he went in to do battle that he was to destroy everything. Animals? See, why did God want to get rid of the animals? That's why I said that animals are used in the occult. Because God didn't want anything left of the sinful people that he was sending him out to destroy. He told him to destroy everyone, children and all, and the animals. Well, when Samuel is walking into camp, he hears the animals. And so, he knows what's happened because he's been grieving all night about it. And Samuel said, has the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. Saul had told him, well, we brought these animals back to sacrifice unto the Lord. And he brought the kings back. He brought all the kings back and had them in a cave. But he had not obeyed God. And Samuel said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. How about that? Stubbornness. Well, you hear people say, talking about someone, they're stubborn as a mule. Yeah, that's right. You're stubborn as a mule. Yeah, a mule is stubborn. You can't get him to go when you want him to. And it says that it's as idolatry. It's as iniquity and idolatry. Idolatry? What's that got to do with being stubborn? Well, idolatry is a worship of false gods. It's of all of this occult things and all of this. And we're just as well be out there telling fortunes and doing all this as to be stubborn. Think about it. We have passed it off like it's nothing, but God's Word says what it is. He says stubbornness is as iniquity. Look up iniquity. It's lawlessness. And as idolatry. He says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now you think about this. In the Old Testament, God judged Saul and rejected him from being king because of his disobedience and his rebellion and his stubbornness. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
But sometimes we still don't obey the word when we know what the word says. And you know, Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law. He did not come to destroy it. And, you know, I've had people just question this about the sins of the Father. Said, well, all that was taken care of on the cross. It was. Your salvation was taken care of on the cross. The whole world was saved on the cross. But the whole world's not saved, is it? It was there for the whole world. But they had to receive it. You had to receive Jesus to be saved. And it's the same way with the curses, because Galatians 3:13 says that he was made a curse upon the cross. Jesus became a curse upon the cross so we could be free from the curses that were put upon us.
Right.
And they began in the Garden of Eden. In other words, he's saying you can do what you want to, but it won't bring you any profit with the Father.
Right.
And a lot of people take this when I get over on the eating of the wrong food, that when Peter had the vision and that sheet was let down with those animals on it, when God says, don't call what I call clean unclean, Peter was calling it unclean. But it had nothing to do with food. He was talking about he was going to send him to the Gentiles and to be a witness to them. And Peter was saying, you know, I don't have anything to do with them. And so people use that a lot of times, saying, well, I can eat anything I want to. Sure, you can eat anything you want to. You can eat poison if you want to. God won't stop you.
Right.
And, you know, some of the things we're eating today are killing us.
Absolutely.
God had a reason for it in His Word. I have a daughter that's just precious, and I wouldn't take anything for her. But she's rebelling against eating pork. She's eating pork. I've preached to her. I've shared it with her. And until the Lord gets a hold of her, there's nothing I can do. So I've told her. And it's one of these days she's going to see it. And she'll when I was on the earrings, girls, now some of y'all have pierced ears, and that's perfectly okay. If I don't share with you, though. You may not want to wear them afterwards, but I share with my daughter. And she is just a really sweet girl. I'm telling you, she has had it for the last few weeks. I don't know how to got through all the things I've been through. But when I was sharing with her about the pierced ears, oh, she saw it. Went out and had three more holes put in her ear. Came back with them, and I didn't say a word. I had told her. She's 44 years old. And I thought, yo, kiddo, I told you. But she has removed them. Every one of them, she's removed them. So I didn't say a word. But I told her about them, and I left it. Left it, you know, between her and the Lord. And she knows the Lord. She'd been to Bible college, and she started out to be a missionary, but got married instead, and life's been hell ever since then. That's true. It's the truth. She didn't obey God, and she has really had to fight. And I love her dearly. I love my grandkids. She has two daughters, and I've got two great-grandkids by them. But she disobeyed God. She was preparing to go into the mission field and got married instead. But praise the Lord. So if any of you girls are young and not married in here, take heed. If God's called you, be sure you do what God wants you to do. Totally bell. But anyways, let's go on. She's also enjoying some of her fruits of her labor right now with her kids. The seed that we sow, you know, in Ephesians says you reap what you sow. And bless her heart, she's really reaping some right now. Well, it's truth. The devil attacks every way he can. And I'm telling you, I just see God's word being proved in my own family just over and over again.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's not good. That's what I'm saying. It's happening. And just before my husband went home to the Lord last week, we saw our youngest son come to the Lord. And we had prayed and prayed, and the Lord, he got saved about 2 weeks, about 3 weeks before Jim went home. But he came to see his dad, and oh, his dad was so blessed. We almost didn't recognize him. He changed so much. And when he walked in the house, the people that were there said, he looks just like Jim. Of course, I didn't see that, but everybody said that. And that my husband was just praising the Lord and shouting from his bed because we had waited so long to see him come to the Lord. And he came and told his dad that what Jim had shared with him when he first came by the house turned him around. And he left our house and he was carried brought over into Arkansas, into Lubbock, and that very night he got saved. And we didn't see him for about 30 days after he got saved. I was saying 3 weeks, it was 30 days. He went through a program. He was on drugs and alcohol and the whole nine yards. And when he came to see us, I'm telling you, when he walked in the door, I saw Jesus. And it was tremendous that God was so good to let Jim know that before he went home to be with the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And let's look at this. I'm just meddling this afternoon in every direction I can. When you don't have too long to share, you do as much as you can. But the Lord gave this to me as I was studying this morning on the occult. And see, all the things that I'm sharing, the rebellion and all of this, is right along, it's witchcraft, and so it's I'm really not too far off. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 25, it says, "The graven images of their God shall you burn with fire. They shall not desire, thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord." And if you back up and read about that, it's talking about all these things and idols and things. You know, I'll read verse 26, then I'll make this statement. "Neither shall thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." We have gotten rid of a lot of jewelry in our church. Excuse me. My husband got rid of a lot for me. He just took it all and threw it in the river. I had grandmother's pins and mother's rings and all this stuff that my kids had given me. And I really, at that time, I was like everybody else. Oh, well, you know, I don't know about all this. I really wasn't in deliverance prayer, but had not been in very long. Just started in and just learning all these good things. And we were in a meeting one night, and my daughter was there, and she was, I don't remember the problem she was having at that time, but the man that was speaking walked over to my daughter, and he didn't know she was my daughter, and said, "I say you're under a curse of the occult." And he said, and as he talked, he described my pen that my kids and grandkids had given me, had all their birthstones in it. When he described it, I'm sitting there thinking, "That's my pen that he's talking about. Lord, what in the world has that got to do with her?" And he said that a lot of these, I think it was physical problems she was having. I believe that's what it was. And he said, these things are from that, you have that pen. She says, "No, I don't have that pen." And he thought, I'm sure he thought, "Well, I didn't miss God. I see it." And he went on a little further, and he said he wasn't satisfied with that. He described my ring and the stones in it. And I said, "That's mine." He said, "Yes, mother, if you're the mother of this girl, you have got her under a curse."
Wow.
I did it. I'm talking about birthstones. Okay? Birthstones. If you're even a diamond, if you use it as a birthstone, see, that's a birthstone, and that's in the your horoscope, your all of the zodiac signs, all of this. And so he broke the curses off of her and prayed for her. And whatever it was, I don't remember the physical thing. Usually within female problems, she was delivered from them. But God says that we're not to bring an abomination into our house. A lot of times we have little statues.
Miss Miller,
uh-huh.
The Amplified Version says these good luck charms
to
bring into the house.
Good luck, yeah, that's true. Some people use
rabbit's foot.
They also use anything that you use as four-leaf clover, bracelets. They have bracelets with charms on them. Charms, what are charms? To get rid of them there. But the thing is, if we bring an abomination into our house, we curse ourselves and curse our family. So I started off to say, I was going to tell you this, we had a lady in our church that I don't recall all the things she had other than she had some kind of a dollar, sand dollar. And I didn't talk to her about it. I was just talking about bringing abominations into the house. And she got under conviction, but not enough to throw it away. And she took all of her occult jewelry to a drawer and had it melt it down and make her a necklace. The Word says that we're not to even want the gold off of them.
That's right.
And we're to get rid of it. And I'm not telling you to throw anything away. I'm just telling you, if you've got anything that you are doubt, and you're doubtful about it, and maybe the Lord's talking to you about, talk to Him about it. Most time when someone comes to me and says, "Well, should I get rid of this?" I said, "I won't tell you to get rid of anything. I wouldn't do that, because that's between you and the Lord. But I will tell you this, that if you're in doubt and you're having problems, you really have a question there, God's already dealing with you."
She'd given me a Christmas ornament that was handmade,
you couldn't see anything except the top of it. But it was given to me by a Christian, and I was just getting into this, and so I thought, well, it's an angel, and I won't hang it on the tree. And so I had enough, like you said, questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed about it because I didn't want to just throw it away and have this person ask me what happened to it. So I prayed about it, and I set it up on my counter, and I said, God, you know, if this isn't from you, I just left it there. And the next day, my 3-year-old daughter climbed on something to get up there to look at it, and it broke. And I just thank you.
Amen. Amen. I really don't know about them. I've never dealt with that question. Is that what it is? The way I feel about all this, let me tell you what I feel. If you come into my house, I have a very barren house. It's very bare. Only things I have on my wall is scripture. We have scripture on the wall, the Ten Commandments, and the living room, and the Lord's Prayer. And you have to watch when you put those up there, because if you're not careful, something can be in the designs around it. You can find curses on the back of pictures. I shared in here about, I had a scripture in my dining room, a tree, had a tree with birds in it. Excuse me. I don't remember the script that was there, but I was preaching one Sunday morning, and we were having trouble with demonic forces in my dining room. At my door, dining room door, it opened and closed, and Jim had prayed over it, and I had prayed over it. We were anointed all, we searched everything, and then we knew we had the picture on the wall. But when I was in church, I saw there was a bird in that tree, was dead, and was hanging by his feet. And the Lord said, get that thing out of there. But because it was scripture, I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the things around it. So I have just come to the conclusion that if I wanted scripture on my wall, that we would have them, do them, and then put them in a frame and hang them. And that's what I've got on my wall right now. And as ceramics and things, my kids that didn't know the Lord would give me things, and they just automatically got broke, and Jim was always so clumsy, and he'd just, you know, drop them. And I'd always tell him, you know, you shouldn't let your daddy hear that, because he usually drops something like that, and by the time he'd drop it, it was terrible. But they finally got caught on that we didn't want them. We would tell them, don't buy us gifts, you know, that we don't have Christmas, but my kids insist on having dinner, and they would bring gifts. But we quit that. We wouldn't even have the dinner because it was still in. If we have a dinner, it's always before Christmas, okay? And we don't do the gifts. So they honored us that way, except my youngest son. He left. He couldn't take it. But the thing is that we don't want anything in our house that could bring us problems. And I just say to people, if there's a lot of physical problems, if you're having a lot of sickness and physical problems, I would search my house thoroughly, and I would see if there's anything in there that God would call an abomination. And if you've got statues or figurines, look at, if you got Buddhas, destroy them. And frogs and owls and all this you need to get rid of. But so many of these statues and things, now I know this sounds far out, but I know they can put spirits, demons in them, and they get them in your house. We've had this happen with stuffed toys. We've had children have problems sleeping when they have a stuffed animal in their bedroom. And the kids, one of the little girls told me that she had a lot of stuffed animals and said they watch her. So she said everywhere she'd go, the eyes would follow her. And she got where she was afraid to go to bed. And I said, well, get them out of your room. And when she did, she began to sleep. She didn't have any more trouble. And I'm not saying don't give your kids stuffed animals. If you do, pray over them, rip them open, put a prayer cloth in them. I mean, kids have to have something. I understand that. But my daughter-in-law, would let her child have one during the daytime, and we'd pray over and on the door and put a scripture in every one she had. But she would never let them take them to bed with her, or never let them take them in her their room. And at night, they always went outside. And she really didn't want them to have them, but the children themselves finally got where they wouldn't take them. But their other grandmother was real good about giving them things, and it was hard to deal with her because she was an unbeliever. Let me go on before we go any further. I'll get you. Okay, you're right. I appreciate you bringing that forward because
they're spending so much money on that.
Let me tell you something. Go back to the Cabbage Patch dolls. Then I had any doubt that they were cultic. And you saw people just knock down, drag out for them. Anything that is such a, that everybody's got to have, you, fad, you must know that it's you don't need it. That your children don't need it because it is, they look at those things and there's some kind of a, I don't know what the thing is that I see on TV that's the most horrible looking thing, and I have no idea what that thing is, but I see people in stores buying all these things and I think, oh, you're taking all those demons home with you. And that's exactly the way I believe that so many of these things are so demonic. There's a book downstairs that's Terminal in the Toy Box. It's very good. My only problem with that book, it just doesn't go far enough. I would like to write one, tell you how far to go. Throw them out of the way. I tell you the truth, this day and time, we can't do as the world does. We have got to, you've got to examine the things you give your grandkids and your kids. You've got to know that it's not demonic, and when you give it to them, anoint it with oil and pray over it and break any curse that's been loosed upon it. Did you ever wonder why dolls, I don't know how we got on all this, but the Lord knows. The dolls have pins. A lot of times they have a pin in the back to hold its pants on or a belt on or something. Wonder why? It's voodoo curses on them. Those pins are stuck in there, and the children take them home, and you're taking those curses that have been loosed and put upon those dolls. Go back, go to your library, and dig up where dolls came from, where they first came from, what they are all about. You say, well, you're taking away everything. No, I'm just telling you what I know. That's my job. It is the truth.
Some of that seems so before, and I know that I thought about it and stuff, and there, it's an unclean animal is what it is.
Well, I was trying to be real nice. I haven't got to the unclean things yet. I'm coming to that, the Lord willing. Right. The things that are an abomination, okay? Okay, we gotta hurry. Let me real quickly. I'm gonna have to cut this off right here and go to. I was going to where madness comes from. Did you know madness comes from the occult? Let me give you the scripture on it. Isaiah 44. I'll get to you in a minute, Bernadine. Let me do this real quick. In verse 25, verse 24 says, in chapter 44 said, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things and stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth above the earth by itself, that frustrates the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad. Divination brings madness and insanity. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24 and 25, and turneth wise men backwards and maketh their knowledge foolish. I like the next verse, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. I quote that a lot. Shouldn't need anything.
Third eye on one card is called an energy power.
Oh, yes, it is power. It is power. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, please. Okay. The third eye is the eye of power in the occult. And if they're on this Pokemon, then your people are taking the occult in, and this psychic, this third eye, the eye, there's a horse forehead. I did a teaching on that. Going to do another one for long. Fern's been doing a long study on that. And this third eye is the eye of power. And I'll tell you what, I discovered running into the eye of power when I was, the power eye when I was throwing a medium out of a lady. And the power, we had to seal that eye before we could get that spirit out of her, and then had to cast the eye itself out. It's the third eye that the witches say is right here in the forehead. And this is why all this has come about. Let's go on real quick. I want to do a little bit of deliverance, but I want to hit this, if I may, on the unclean. I was going to get on the blood. You're not to eat the blood. You know that the blood is, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it brings a perpetual curse, a never-ending curse, until it's broken. Over in Isaiah, let me see. Oh, go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, and let's look at the unclean. I didn't mean to cut everybody off, but I want to do this before I go into deliverance. We'll have a little time. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 8 says, and the swines, because this is an unclean, one of the unclean animals, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of the flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. These shall you eat of all that are in the water, all that have fins and scales shall you eat. You're not to eat anything that comes out of the water, like catfish or
shellfish.
This would answer your question about seashells. All, unless they have fins and scales, God says you're not to eat them. Lady in our church loves shrimp. I said, eat your shrimp and die.
Right.
I mean, you know, she's eating things God forbids, and she's sick all the time. I'm not kidding. And whatsoever has not fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean unto you. Okay. That talks about the swine, the hog, the pig, the pork. And I will give you another scripture. Go to Isaiah 65. And let's look at that. Isaiah 65 in verse 3. I believe that's one I want. And it's a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificing gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. God says eating swine's meat is an abomination, and it really brings it. Brings arthritis, it brings, the pork has worms in it, you get worms in your body. I've done deliverance with, we have done it here, and I've done it in my church, on an eating of fat. God says don't eat fat, that's over in Leviticus. And, came after the spirits of, that came in through eating pork, and everywhere in our church manifested, and we had quite a bit of deliverance up here when we did it. And in Isaiah 66 and verse 17, it says, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and abomination, and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. God says, to eat it, they shall be consumed. That God calls it an uncleanness, an abomination. He tells us what we can eat and what we can't eat, and we have rebelled against it.
Right.
And have you ever seen, I have never seen pork pushed like it's being pushed on TV today. I have not, you haven't either. And they call it the other white meat. And over in Tennessee where I'm from, and I'm sure here in Arkansas, they really love barbecue. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's ham. Okay. She said, talking about Germany, that they like pork. Let me tell you something else. Blood sausage, eating of the blood. If you eat a rare steak, you're eating blood. God tells us not to eat the blood. The blood of animals is, when you drain the blood out, it's the life. I believe the soul's in the blood.
Yeah.
And when you're eating of the blood, you're partaking of a part of that animal more than just the flesh.
Right.
And God calls an abomination. Okay, I have one more scripture I want to read. Hosea 2. I'm going to touch on this. I said something about the earrings. God tells us we're not to cut our bodies. And he also says the hole in our ear is I think they're healed up. It's been 20 years. I'll be healed up. I felt a little place on the back of my ear. But I had gone to a Wim Hurley seminar in Chicago, and I had earrings on, and nobody there had them on. And I thought, what's the matter with these people? Don't they like jewelry, you know? And I knew that, you know, they were deliverance. That's my first experience with deliverance. And so I got up and went downstairs to the bathroom, and I was in one of the stalls praying. I said, Lord, what is this? I just now got my ears pierced. I was a woman then, and never could wear a clip on earrings because it hurt my ears. And my daughter finally taught me into doing it. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to be different. I'll take them off, too. So I took them off, and I hated it because I really liked them. These little gold earrings my husband had bought me. Went back up there, and then they go preaching on it. I mean, they gave me scripture and verse for it. So I go back home, and first thing the women in the church said to me was, where are your earrings? And I said, well, I'll tell you about it. And so I talked to them about it. But over in Hosea in chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, when you find it, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Now, the spirit of harlotry comes in many times with pierced ears. And you also get a soul tie with a person that pierced your ears. And you need to break soul tie with whoever did your ears. And I'm not telling anyone not to wear the earrings. I'll tell you, I'm telling you that this is what the Word said. This is just part of them. I have quite a few scriptures here. And if you want them, I'll give them to you. And you can look them up. The one on eating of the blood is Leviticus 17, verses 10 and 11. And Leviticus 3:17 says it shall be a perpetual statute. It's a perpetual curse. And then in Deuteronomy 14:3, shall not eat anything, abominable thing, in Deuteronomy 14:8-10, any unclean thing, in Isaiah, let me see. Okay, Genesis 35, 1-4, it talks about when Jacob went into the house of the Lord, he had the women take the jewelry off, and they hid them. That told me it was abomination to go into the house of the Lord with a bone. I don't know, you can read much longer on them, but over in Leviticus, it talks about, I think it's Leviticus, I don't have scripture for that, where, no, it's Exodus 21:5-6, said that they pierced their ears through with the slave's ears through with it, and it is a sign of slavery. They put an earring in the ear. So, as I said, do what you want to with it, but I wanted to share that real quick with you, and I'm rushing so I can get into some deliverance. Does anybody want in deliverance this afternoon? Okay. I'm not gonna talk anymore to you girls. I really have about 10 minutes, and if I don't get started, we won't get any done. I'll talk to you later, okay? Okay? Yes, those earrings and this thing and that. I don't even want to tell you where all I've heard they are. Oh, yeah. Okay. Do what. He really is a tattoo. And when I teach this, I go on the tattoo and say, men, don't be so smug. Y'all got tattoos all over you, and God calls it an abomination and tells you you're not to do it. And he also, you know, the scripture tells us about how the men cut their hair. You know how the kids and the men are wearing these strange, weird haircuts? They're not just strange and weird. Most of them are satanic. When you find out what they've done and what kind of pattern that they have there. And a lot of people say you're being too much in bondage with them. Thanks, hon. I got it. Couldn't find my shoes. I was about to put them on my foot. I'm too low down to reach this microphone when I have set on my tiptoes. That cutting the hair, okay, that's law. That is a different kind of law. I don't find it really in scripture. When it talks about, and the woman let the adorning of the hair and the outward appearance instead of the inward, let it be the inward of man that is changed and not the outward. And so when our hearts are right before the Lord, we're going to change everything that God wants us to. Let me tell you something. I wear chains and I wear jewelry. But you know the Lord's been talking to me about my chains of bondage. And you know what? When he tells me to take them off, I will take them off and leave them off. And I really think he's talking to me about it. I've worn them this time. My husband gave these to me, all three of them. I've got another one. And I have been walking under so much pain here this time because he's only been gone a week. And I had a real rough time this morning. And sometimes all the jewelry I have, he bought me special. And so I had put it on, and I said, Lord, if you say take it off, I will. And he was showing me that bracelets are chains, and they bind, and these are chains around my neck that I'm removing. And what I will wear probably is a string of pearls or something like that if I want jewelry. I don't have to have it. I really don't. I'm telling you this. Go into the scripture. Don't take my word for it. Get into the scripture and see what the word says about it. And then you do what God tells you to do. I never tell him about it. When I'm praying for the sick, I never tell people to throw their medicine away. I say, if God heals you, he'll tell you to throw it away. I would never tell you. And if you're sick and you need to go to a doctor, I say, you go. God has kept me healed for 30 years. My husband just died real sick. You figure. But I know God's word is works. It works for me. And so, praise the Lord. But let's go into deliverance, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each one of the ladies here. And Lord, if I've offended anyone, it's your word, and I didn't mean to do it, but I will speak your word, Father. I will read your word. And Lord, I'll let you deal with each of us in the name of Jesus. Because I don't mean to hurt anyone, Lord. I just mean to help people become free. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come for deliverance, you said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So we come to this afternoon as children that want to be freed from every bondage that and everything that's not of you. And we just ask you to have your way now. Cover each one with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Station angels around, Father. Fill this room with angels as the spirits come, demons come out. Take them, the angels take them to the bottomless pit and bind them in the pit till the day of judgment. Father, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to share. And now as we call upon the name of the Lord, we receive deliverance and we praise you for it. And I bind every spirit in this place to the my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And in the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits, and when their name's called, they will come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now, praise the Lord, I'm kind of rushing because we're running out of time. But if you put your feet flat on the floor and uncross your hands, and arms, and don't get, you know, I've seen women when I was doing deliverances at barefoot, they'd take their toes and dig into the carpet just to hold on, and the spirits love it. They just hold on. So I say, loosen up, and remember that demons are air, and you breathe them in, breathe out, and command them to go. And when I'm calling out something that you don't think you have, you need to stay inside me. If I got it, I want it to go. If you want to be free, and God will free you from it. Okay, so in the name of Jesus, I come against all the witchcraft, all the rebellion, spirits of rebellion, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind strong men of rebellion. I bind the spirits in the name of Jesus. And I command rebellion to loosen and let go. Come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there now. Rebellion, witchcraft, sorcery, magic, necromancy. Come out now in Jesus' name. Spiritual divination, fortune telling. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, the word says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I call out all the witchcraft in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. Crystal ball, palm reading, tea leaf reading, a Ouija board. If you've ever been involved in a Ouija board, you've cursed your family for four generations. And I call out every spirit from the Ouija board. Horoscope, if you've had your horoscope read, I command every spirit out in Jesus' name. Voodoo, in the name of Jesus, loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. We call that third eye out. I blind that third eye and call it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, stargazing, astrology, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, black magic, white magic, Satan worship. I break every curse of Satan, Satanism, and child sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, listen to me, come out. I call out spirits of incest, And the curse of the bastard, I break the curse of the bastard back for 10 generations and command the spirits of the bastard to come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen and let go. Listen to them, let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of adultery and fornication, lust, incest, perversion, hatred, anger. Listen to them. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn loose and let them go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.